everybody. Welcome to the Choose Happy Podcast. I'm your host, Nazi Javid, and with me today is someone super extra special. She's been hugely influential throughout my lifetime. She's hilarious. She has no filter, and she'll tell it like it is. Coming up, you're going to meet my one and only fabulous Miss Grandma Mary. All right, Graham, welcome. How you doing?
I'm doing okay, especially since you're here this weekend.
I know. I'm here in Sacramento visiting you. It is March 26th, and you and I have talked a lot about getting together for a chit chat podcast for like how many months now?
Hasn't it been years?
Years, probably. Yeah. Since I started this, I always pick your brain, and I thought it might be nice to have some of that documented because, as we know, life is super short and fleeting.
Mm-hmm.
You're always talking about, you know,
life is too short.
Yeah, life is too short. So, for the folks who don't know you, my friends who haven't met you yet, I'm sure they've seen you all over my social media. But share a little bit about who you are.
Who am I? I'm your grandmother.
Yeah. How old are you?
How old am I? 80.
You just turned 80. We celebrated in August. Yeah. Well, not just, but I mean, it feels like it was just yesterday.
Yeah, it does.
And, but do you feel 80?
Once in a while I do. Sometimes I even feel 90.
So in your body, right? It's your body that you feel older, but in your mind, do you feel older?
No, in my mind, I don't feel older. And if I don't look in the mirror, I don't feel older.
But you don't look 80 either. And you don't act 80, that's for sure.
Well, I've been told that before.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot.
Here's an example of my grandma. You want to tell the toilet paper story?
No, you don't.
She said, how did it go? When other grandparents went, because when I would visit from college, she would send me home with care packages and care bags. And she would say, other grandparents give their kids, you know, whatever.
Other parents give their kids, send care packages, like food, fruit, money. But I need to send and make sure that you have this. What was it?
It was toilet paper. She said, here's how it actually went. You know, some people send them home with soap to keep their hands clean or something like that. But I like to send my kids home with toilet paper because they need to keep their ass clean.
I have forgotten that part.
But it just goes to show like how open you have been with us throughout our lives and all the grandkids. You've been able to come to you with anything and everything. Nothing is off limits with you.
Not at all. Not at all. I wish I had had somebody that would have listened to me. Maybe I wouldn't have had all the trials and tribulations that I did in growing up.
Tell me about some of those. What was it like growing up? Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Almedina, California, in a little colony called La Colonia, and it was called Mapaloma. And we were raised there. Our lives consisted mostly of being, we were very poor, but my parents followed the migrant path of earning money, going wherever the crops grew. And sometimes we would sleep on army cots just set up under trees.
Wow.
Other times in a tent.
How many of you were there?
There were four children and the parents.
Wow.
So, it wasn't easy, but my mom figured out how to section off it was like a big mass tent, the kind that the army used for cooking and doing that kind of stuff. And so my mother sectioned it into little rooms kind of so we could have a little bit of privacy.
Wow.
And
what was that like?
It was yucky in a way. I mean, my mom did what she could. What they did is they would take like wooden prune boxes and boxes that they used for putting the fruit and stuff that was being picked at the time. And she would lay them down as long as we were. If we were, you know, little short ones, it would take one box maybe. If we're taller, it'd take two or three boxes. And one of my brothers was big, tall, and fat. I don't like to use that word, but with him, it would take two rows of the boxes. But we were used to it. We didn't, I guess we didn't really want for more because we didn't really know how everybody else lived. That's the way the people we associated with lived.
But, and now, you know, however many decades later, looking back at that and given the blessings that you've been able to have from working hard for those, what have you done differently for your family versus what you had to go through growing up?
First, I taught them that love is the most important thing of living one another, and it's not what we have materially, but what we have within each other, and being able to bond together as a family and being able to share what we do have. So I think that that's one of the things that we've done different, and just be satisfied that we do have a roof over our head. It didn't matter if it leaked or not, but at least we had a roof, and we were able to, I learned to save money a little bit more, and I learned to speak up as a woman. I learned to speak up as a woman.
And you always taught us to be very vocal about what we needed and wanted in life and not to, you know, stand down and to fight for our rights and all of that. So how did you become so passionate in that sort of feminist type of way? Because you were still very, you still had the culture, you were still very, you know, you're very country and, and you're very old fashioned in a lot of ways, you know, but then you're very progressive in others. So how did, tell me about that. How'd you get there?
Well, I didn't want my children to have to go through wanting. I didn't want them to get to the point where they wanted something bad enough that they would steal or do something wrong. I wanted them to learn that you have to work for what you get and what you want. And that to be able to do that, you also had to have an education. You had to be able to learn how to ask for things, how to talk to people about how to obtain things that you need to get to where you want to be. And they listen. They didn't always do it.
So you've always been a follower of the law. You went to the police academy. You were a private investigator. You've done a lot of business, and you've been taking us to court since I can remember. I mean, I remember getting my first speeding ticket, and you took me to court too, because you had so much experience in court. You were a translator. So you've done a lot in your lifetime. What was the most fun job that you did?
The most fun job? My most fun job. That's quite a question.
Well, I think you talk a lot about the police academy and how fun that was for you.
I think those are the most fun, as being able to help people and doing that kind of stuff. But as far as fun as enjoying myself, I enjoy myself reading and doing things for other people. I'm not a fun person.
You are fun. You are fun. You cook. You teach us how to cook your homemade recipes and stuff. You read a lot. That's true. You read law books for fun. You've always been really into the law. And you really enjoyed rodeo back in the day.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Bull riding and all that.
Bull riding was one of the things that I really, really, really enjoyed. I enjoyed that. And some of the cowboys that I did bull riding with told me I should do, what is that called? Bronc riding on the horses. And I'm like, that's stupid. I'll fall down and break myself. And they go, you can do the bulls, but you can't ride a horse. I don't know how they're going to move. Do not know.
Didn't you have a license plate on your car back in the day that said, yes, you did. You did have it.
Yes, but I didn't even know they misprinted it.
It was supposed to say, save the bull, ride a cowgirl or something. And and it said, save the bull. Yeah.
Ride the cowgirl is what it came out to be.
But what was it supposed to be?
It was supposed to be save a bull, ride a... I can't remember. But it sure didn't come out that way. And then finally, I had a lot of guys that would kind of flirt with me and stuff. And I just thought, you know, when did he stop this? And then a couple of guys made some obscene gestures and stuff and wanted me to pull over.
No.
And I finally read that one of the guys said, well, it says on your license plate.
Oh, no, it was a misprint.
And I was like, oh, my God, I didn't realize I had been driving all over the place. And that's when I was teaching at the continuation school, too.
Oh, my gosh.
And it was a country school, so there were a lot of cowboys, and they wanted a ride.
Oh, man. I'm just going to leave that right there.
I forgot about that.
Oh, my gosh. And remember when you broke your leg and you were walking around with your, you had one cowgirl boot all the time and one poor cast. You've broken a lot of bones in your lifetime.
Yeah.
And now you've been through a lot. You had cancer multiple times. Like, tell me, what was the biggest struggle for you health-wise, you know, in your lifetime?
Oh, wow.
Was it the breast cancer? That was a big one for us growing up, watching you go through that.
I think the breast cancer, and it wasn't cancer itself. It was the accepting it and moving on and not feeling sorry for myself because I had cancer. I knew that there would be some kind of remedy for it, or even if I passed that, there's a better place because I've already been there. So
yeah, tell me about that, because you've died how many times now?
I've died three times
already. three times. So but yeah, what was that like? I mean, actually, when you say you've died three times, you mean you've seen the other side?
Went over to the other side.
What was that like?
Oh, it was beautiful, especially the first time. It was just the most beautiful, most peaceful feeling that I ever had. And I remember the nurse that was taking care of me after they brought me back, he's the one that really told me about my dying, because I was wondering why he was next to me and watching me that close. And he said, you went over to the other side. And he says, and I need to tell my mom. And I'm like, your mom doesn't know me. Why does your mom need to know about me going to the other side? And he says, you had the most peaceful smile on your face.
Wow.
He says, and you just like lit up.
Wow.
And he says, and you had a smile that was like you were having the most pleasant something happening.
Wow. What was
and
that from? That you,
when,
what
when I was that? Going over, and when I was going over, it seemed to be getting lighter and I could see some forms. And then as the forms were getting closer, the hands were extending like somebody was welcoming me, and I kept on going and things kept becoming clearer as another place to live or to, and more people. And I imagine, I don't know, after I came back and that young man told me, I imagine it was family that I was meeting or something, but he said that at the last minute, I had extended my hand and I was trying to sit up. And all of a sudden, I pulled my hand back and said no.
Hmm.
And so he asked me why I said no. And I said, all of a sudden, I just felt like I still had something I needed to do.
Yeah.
And I couldn't go.
You needed to stay here for
so
us.
So it was you guys, I'm sure. So I did come back.
But you aren't afraid of dying.
Oh, gosh, no. I'm looking forward to it.
What are you looking forward to in death, Graham?
Seventh heaven.
You're so morbid.
Seventh heaven. That's where my ranch is going to be, and the horses and everything. I don't want to go all the way to heaven. God's not going to like that.
Oh, he'll love it. He'll keep you at a safe distance.
he'll keep me down on the seventh floor. There's no way he's letting me go up to the penthouse. No, but and then I died when I had one of my cancer surgeries, when they did the back and the front, everything. They had done all kinds of surgery on me. And I died then also. And it wasn't painful. It wasn't, you know, bothersome or anything, but it wasn't as beautiful as the first time.
Mm.
And then the third time, actually I've died four times. The third time wasn't bad either, but it wasn't like my first experience. My last time I was scared because I was driving home from the doctor's and I had just had a checkup. Everything was fine, but all of a sudden I started feeling my face going numb. My scalp was tingly. And then I started to have a hard time breathing. And just about, I think, half a block before I got home where that a medical service was, I call them ducks in a box, where that mini medical service was at. I had called my doctor. My doctor wasn't in because I was already feeling bad and I was near his office. And the girls told me, just go to the hospital. And I passed that one place and I just pulled in there. I didn't even park the car the right way. I walked in and they're like, what's wrong? I said, I think I'm, and I fell down and I died. And they took me in and then they gave me the shot to bring me back.
Wow.
And they brought me back and then they took me into the hospital and stuff. But that one was really scary because I was cognizant enough to know what was happening to me because it happened before, but I wanted to get off the road because I was afraid I would kill somebody. Mm. I was afraid I would have an accident before I could get off the road.
What do you think happens to us once we die? Like what happens?
To me?
To any of us. Any of
anybody
us
who, dying?
Like where do we go? What is our spirit? Like what happens? What is your theory?
Well, I think we go according to what we have done. And I do believe that God does forgive if we ask for forgiveness for everything we've done. And if we honestly ask for forgiveness for what we have done wrong and we don't continue to do wrong, I think God will have a place for us in, you know, a heavenly place.
And what do you think our purpose is here on earth?
Here on earth? To produce good people and teach people how, you know, what is right and what is wrong. And in reality, opposition to Satan and to prove that there is a God and that there are people that believe in God still.
Why do you think there are some bad people out there? Like,
I don't think
we're all made in God's image. Like, why are there bad people? Like, I struggle with that. Like, why are there?
I don't think that people are born bad. It's like, I think I said this to you before. God did not make junk. We did.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's in what we have learned. There's so many different things. I remember one time at juvenile hall, they had a little boy that was like, I think 5 or 6. He had a mouth that was so foul that it was embarrassing to hear him with the things that were coming out of his mouth.
Mm.
But they came from, I would imagine, since he was just so little, it had to be what he was living through.
Mm.
And they don't get saved in time. And people, probably the parents, had lived through some kind of life similar, where they were very angry people and the poor child had to suffer through it, but he thought that was the right way to be. So I think, why are there bad people? Influence from the ones that are bad and Satan wanting to take as much as he can and as many as he can and confuse us so that we think that, oh, he's going to give us what we want, so it's okay, but he doesn't tell us about what is being taken away from us if we do follow him.
What do you want us to remember about you when you do go to heaven, when you do pass on in this life and go into the next? Like, what do you hope that we carry on?
Oh, being good and kind to people. And if you have bad things that are happening, it's learn to accept and not to blame God or blame the doctors or blame, I mean, even though sometimes it is people that have put you in a bad situation, but just to be kind and loving and understanding with other people and remember you're human and what you want out of life, that you can help other people maybe get the same out of life. I mean, not as far as wealth, a lot of money, but comfort and able to take care of themselves and their children. And I think above all is to not hold the grudge against people and be mad. If there's something to be understood or taken care of, talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then if it doesn't work, remember to once you forgive the person, it's forgiven. And you don't have to hang out with them if you don't want to. But you can. I believe that you have to forgive to be forgiven. I really do.
And what should we remember about you specifically? You talk to us a lot about when I die this and when I die that. And here's what we're like. But what do you want us, like, the message of you? And I think it's important to have these discussions. I know it sounds, it can sound morbid that we're talking about something like this. But, you know, before my grandfather passed, I got to do something like this with him where I sat down, I interviewed him, I asked him questions. And after he passed, I was so grateful that I had those little nuggets that he left behind. And that I want to have that with you. I mean, the reality is we are all going to die at some point in life. And what do you hope that people remember about you when that time comes? So if I'm listening back to this in the future, what would you want me to hear?
I don't know. That's the hardest question.
It is hard.
I don't know, just that I've tried to teach you guys to be kind and forgiving and, you know, the normal things that we always tell you. Don't steal, don't,
you know. What do you want me to remember about you?
Do anything. That I love you.
That's awesome. I love you.
Yes,
amen. Tell me a story, something growing up that, something that maybe I might not remember, but you remember, or your favorite stories of our shenanigans growing up together. I can name one right now, actually.
I can't think of
the mini skirt really, behind the car was a good one.
And standing behind the car when I was wearing shorts and so, your grandmother was there.
Give a little context to this for friends who might be listening.
Nazi's other grandmother is very Persian.
Very Muslim, very strict.
Very strict and strict in the dressing.
I love
her. I am not. I had nice body, nice boobs, nice legs. I wore things that kind of showed them. Except when she was there.
Except because we have absolute, you respected her. And she, it was, you know, such an incredible woman. And I love her and I admire her. And I wish I could pick her brain now that I'm an adult, because I don't think that at the time, you know, I was in high school and I didn't soak up all the things. I would have like learned how to cook her recipes. And she used to teach me. And when she would teach me how to cook, it's like you, she would be like this much, she would hold her hand out this much of this, like not a measure. You guys don't use measuring spoons and all that. You just kind of dash of this, dash of that. And that, you know, was just really, really an incredible, like, talk about a survivor of a woman. And you guys had so much in common. You were both from really different cultures. So when you would come over and to see her, you, out of respect, you would put on other, you know, clothing out of respect. And I would, I was a cheerleader and I, my skirt was short. So I would put on other things as well. And one day you came over, you didn't have something to put over. So you just had a little mini skirt on. You were sitting, you were like waving from behind your car.
I had the car door open. And then you did something. Man. I don't know what you did that you closed the door. You did something to show my whole body and how I was dressed. And grandma was grandma was like,
Bad. Nana John, I love you. Oh my God.
Bad.
Yep, that's right.
So you did that on purpose.
Oh,
you did it on
time.
Purpose, and you
we
know you
fun.
Did.
Yeah, I'm sure I did.
But we did a lot of crazy things.
We had so much fun.
A lot of crazy things.
That's in your Cadillac where I used to always get sick.
Yes.
I couldn't see over the dash. We put my butt in the air.
And against the window. He did everything up out of the what do you call that? The
sunroof.
Yeah. I remember that too.
You know what I really loved doing with you when I was younger is when you would take me to San Juan Bautista and we would go to the what is it? Those crystal
the little
rock stores.
The rock store.
Oh my God, I loved that. It was so fun, and each one has like a healing energy.
Yeah. Do you still have those?
I do. I have one in my purse actually right here.
I remember we used to go in there, and then we would go and eat it. I can't remember the name of the tiny restaurant.
Hardings?
I think so. Yeah. Hardings, yeah.
Is it still there? I wonder.
Yeah, and they had that garden. That really pretty garden.
Oh, yeah, and it was right by the mission. Yeah, it was beautiful.
So, we did do a lot of stuff.
We did.
Yeah. And then we were doing something at that Hardee's when you were a teenager.
Oh, we got in a food fight and the food got stuck on the window, remember?
And then the principal of the school or the superintendent of school.
Because you were a teacher at the school at the time, weren't you?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And we were having that
it was
food fight.
It was the superintendent that came.
Yeah, I think it was
and he loved us.
Yeah.
He was great.
They always did treat me differently.
They always supported our crazy shenanigans.
Okay, anyway.
So the name of my podcast is called Choose Happy. And it's called Choose Happy because at the end of the day, you always taught us that we have a choice, right, on how we approach life. Like, mm-hmm. all of these horrible things happen to you growing up, but you choose to look at it in a different way and be positive, and it's about our perspective, having acceptance, like you said, forgiveness, and moving forward and not letting and holding on to all the baggage of the past mm-hmm. hold us back from what is to come in life. So it's called Choose Happy because we have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of each podcast that I have with my guests on the show, I ask them, what is something in your life that brings you so much joy, that makes you happy?
My grandchildren. They're the only thing that bring me joy.
Yeah.
And my squirrel.
Oh my gosh, you guys, she has a pet squirrel named Toast. And it comes, she feeds it every day. It comes on the porch and what do you feed it? Corn, nuts, seeds,
corn, nuts,
bread,
seeds,
toast.
But her favorite is Toast.
Toast.
That's her name is Toast.
And she is not afraid of us at all.
No.
Like, I went out there right up close, filming, and she just kind of getting her little snack on. Barbie was probably the same size, my little chihuahua, the same size as that squirrel.
Yeah. And that squirrel will eat out of your hand, but she gets excited. And squirrels have very, very, very sharp nails.
Mm.
And if they just touch you, it'll be like a bee sting. It feels like a bee sting when they get their little, just a little tip of their nail on there. Mm. So you have to be real careful with them, no matter how friendly they get.
I zoomed in on their hands and they look pretty sharp.
Drew's
my cousin.
He has the squirrel, but he's had it since it was baby. He bottle fed it and stuff.
Wow.
But he cuts the squirrel's nails. And he's the one that told me, Graham, you've had the squirrel for a long time, but be very careful because their nails are sharp.
Mm.
And I had kind of like, okay. And when it did get me a little bit, because it was excited about getting its food, he wasn't doing it to be mean. That little nail was like a bee sting.
Oh, man.
It was like a bee sting. So.
Well, good to know. Yeah. And that's your tip of the day. And listen, we're running out of time. I like to limit these to 30 minutes. But on the next time that I sit down with you, because I want this to be a multi-part series, because I have so many things to pick your brain mm-hmm. about, right? One, I want you to start thinking about, I have so many questions about aging, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you have lived double my lifetime. And I want you to give me all the tips and tricks and things that you would have told your younger self now so that I can learn these things and share them with people my age so that we can maybe, you can spare us some of the things that you mm-hmm. had to learn the hard way.
Yeah.
Going through and getting older, and how to stay healthy like you are at 80 years old, and you get up and you do your hair and your makeup and you have your gold jewelry and you know, and despite all of your health problems, you eat really well, you eat healthy, you like take care of yourself. And I want all your tips and tricks. So you make a list of those in your brain and on the next one.
If my brain is still working, I know. You start off with mush for breakfast. That's what happens to your brain at the end.
Oh my gosh.
It becomes mushy.
When did you, in 60 seconds or less, because we have about 2 minutes left, when did you first realize that you, like, oh my gosh, I'm like, we're all going to get old. Like, you go through your whole life knowing that you're going to get old, but you don't really believe that you're going to be an old person until that clicks. When was that for you?
I was born old.
You're an old soul. That's true.
But I remember when I was about 12 or 13, I told my family I was going to die when I was 27.
Why?
I do not know.
I'm glad you didn't, because
around. But on my 27th birthday, they said, well, we're waiting an extra day before we celebrate it, so that we know you did make it through 27.
That's good. Yeah, scary. So why'd you pick your parents out like that?
I don't know. I always thought that. Ever since I was a little girl, I remember when I was 3 or 4 years old, those are my first memories.
Wow.
And I didn't like people.
Okay.
I did not.
On that note of not liking people. Well, we like you and I'm glad you're here. Okay. And we're going to dig into on the next edition what it's like, what you've learned, what it was like for you going through your change of life, and what you've learned in your second 40 years. You know that song, My First 30 Years and My Next 30 Years? It's going to be It's Tim McGraw. Anyway, it's going to be the next 40 years. So we're going to talk to you about that. And on that note, do you want to sign us off, Graham? Do you want to sign us off?
And doing what? Goodbye.
Say goodbye to our friends.
Goodbye. And I'm glad you got to talk to me or listen to me.
She says goodbye and good riddance.
And maybe someday I'll hear your story.
Yes.
And thank you so much for joining us for this edition of Choose Happy.